We have a lot to get through this hour. I want to see what we can do about doing just that. We're looking at picture number 10 on page 1 of the photos. It's kind of a dark background, but I want you to look at that object and look at the so-called bottom of it, which is white. Look at what appear to be round openings. Then there are rectangular shapes. This is I don't know. John, what do your instincts tell you about the potential size of this? What, several hundred meters long, that kind of thing?
Well, it's amazing, isn't it? It's just literally like Jerry Gilmore said, it's like Star Wars. It's like the real Star Wars movie, isn't it? It's just like, he said it's the Star Wars project in an email to me. So, I mean, that's what it just portrays, massive Star Wars, you know, objects in space.
It's a spaceship. It's a big damn spaceship is what it looks like. And Marcel, your thoughts on possible size?
To be frank, it looks huge. It's very, very difficult to tell without anything to scale.
Right,
but
of course,
just looking at that, it's certainly not a small satellite that's gone up in the nose cone of a rocket.
No chance.
You can guarantee that.
Yeah. Okay, let's go on down to the next one. It's a long one. I think we may have seen it before. It's lit. Let's just call it the stern at the bottom, the center, and then at the top right, just for the heck of it. It's lit up. Isn't that illumination, John?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you get glares from the sun, that is if you look at the video of it, which I've got on my YouTube page, it's just like John and R. Wilson. It's very easy to find. Just Google John and R. Wilson. You will see this YouTube videos. There's lots there. And literally, it's got light to it. It has sections of it are lit up. So
look at the bottom of it, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Look at the bottom of it. Look at there's a single big light. It's kind of roundish. Now look at to the right of that, and you'll see that lighted object is reflecting off the craft itself. It's lit up. It's reflection.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no other way to look at that. None.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go on to the next picture. Now, this one is really wild. Wow.
It is.
I mean, look at that. Does that... I ask you, in all honesty, how can you dismiss this as anything but something intelligently constructed and clearly of large size? Your all instincts, all your senses tell you that.
Yeah. I showed that one to Robert Watts, who's the Hollywood producer that helped produce Space Odyssey 2001.
Uh-huh.
And we sat down. I think you might have the video of me sitting with him. I'm not sure. I did send it in, but I can send it again. But we were sat down, and we were looking at that, and he said to me, that's just like... because he helped produce the Star Wars movies as well.
Uh-huh.
And he said, that's just like the movies. It's just incredible. And to see his shocked face, as a Hollywood producer that produced Space Odyssey 2001 and Star Wars, he knew about you know, sort of like, you know, actual, you know, photography, filming,
sure.
and that. And he was just amazed that this is in space. You know, I've shown him it live in space as well, and he's just been, you know, knocked over by it. He just thinks it's incredible.
Sure. Well, this, again, is captured through the haze of the atmosphere and all the soot and smoke and chemtrails and garbage that's up there. And to get this fine of a resolution is just a real tribute to John's patience and his dedication of this. That's a spaceship, folks. Not a 1950s science fiction type, but it's a contemporary spaceship. It doesn't need to be built for any wind drag or aerodynamic problems. It's in space.
And mentioning this actual photograph, moving on in years of doing this with CCD chips, which is quite important to mention for the viewers that maybe want to try this. There's in the last year or so, there's been people sort of copying my actual getting a camera and using the zoom function on the back.
On the back, I think we may have lost John. Marcel, are you there? All right, well, maybe we've lost both of them. That would be an interesting interruption, shall we say. I think there are people out there who don't want this talked about or shown. But I will continue. The next picture shows that same object a little bit smaller and a little, it looks like a different filter perhaps on it to bring out different highlights. Look at what, we'll call this the crew compartment. The white dome with the top flat on it in the center. Remember, we're only seeing half of it. We don't know what's in the dark on the backside. This is the illuminated portion. So that, and then some of you will say, well, that's crazy, because why would NASA put up the International Space Station and spend all this money and all this time? Well, let me just explain it simply. It's a misdirection. It's a necessary parallel misdirection to keep people not knowing about the advanced state of spaceflight and technology that apparently exists. It's all about information and control. Okay? All right, hopefully Todd is trying to get our guests back on. We'll go down to the next one. I don't have these numbered. I wish they did have numbers, but just keep looking at them. Look at the detail. Look at the amazing detail of whatever these are. And I think it's the same, I'm going to call it a ship. I think it's the same ship just flipped over so that we'll call it a crew compartment. Yeah, we're back, John. Okay, good. What we're seeing is the same object. It looks like you put a blue filter on it or some kind. And then the next two images appear to show it, or three images, appear to show it upside down from our original perspective. And yeah. It shows what appears to be the bottom. And there are several long tubular-looking items on the bottom of it, if that is the bottom. We don't know. It's the same craft with different exposures. And tell us how you got it to look different.
That's what I was just explaining. Did you get me explaining about the
No, I did
chips
not. We lost that. So go ahead. You just started to talk chips and we lost you.
Oh, right. Okay. So way back in 2003 and 5 and 6 and 7 when I was talking to you, I was using like a Philips Pro 2 cam and the Sony camcorder where I poked the lens out, which exposed the inner CCD chip, which is the sensor that lets light produce it into a visual spectrum for you to see. I was using them and they were like PAL versions. So it was, you know, 720, you know, size. Then I progressed over the years up to about 3-4 years ago. I brought a Sony A7S and started using that. Are you uh-huh. still with me?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. And with that, it's a full frame chip. And way back three years ago, when I had this Sony A7S, I started being able to zoom in a flick of a switch straight in to much further than I've ever done before. And I started outputting it live, so you could zoom into the moon much closer and zoom into these objects much closer. It's an incredible camera, Sony A7S. It's got a full frame sensor. It also is a very sensitive sensor. It's up to 450 ISO, where normal cameras are around 6,000, 7,000 ISO in video mode. So when you put one of those on the back of a telescope, you can't see much. It's not very good. But you put one of these Sony A7s on the back, and you whack it up to 450,000 ISO. It's a little bit grainy. That's why you see the graininess. But you can see further out into space, and more's visible. Does that make sense? Because you've got more.
Yeah.
More capability of the sensor is much more sensitive to see further. So I was doing this 3 or 4 years ago with this Sony A7S and starting to collect data and footage. And then I started outputting it live on live streams. So you can, it's also a function on there, it's a zoom function. So what it lets you do is basically live, lets you zoom into the sensor live. So you've got a full frame and you can zoom right in with no loss of quality, and produce astonishing results. It's incredible. And that's what the professor, Jerry Gilmore, was explaining what Lucky Imaging is. He had the amazing capability to have CCD chips that the BBC crews use in their massive, great big cameras. And he was explaining he was doing the similar sort of thing with his colleagues at Cambridge. And they were putting one of these massive, like, chips that you'd get in a, you know, like a professional, you know, sort of camera from the BBC that broadcast on the back of a massive telescope, producing amazing results as well. So it's incredible, you know, what you can do with new technology now. It really is.
It's staggering. Now, let me just back up a tiny bit. Number 11, which shows the entire length of this this craft. And then there's a text, a line on the right side. It's vertical. Please do not copy or reproduce without permission. Yeah. This looks, for all the world, like one of the enormous spacecraft that Bill Tompkins described.
It does. You're right.
Absolutely looks like an enormously long. Look at the straightness of that. Look at it.
It's amazing.
It's huge. These are big things. Okay. Now we're going to head down to the next image, which is below number 11, with that little piece of text on the right hand side. Please do not copy. We'll go back to this one. How can you look at this and not say that's a spaceship or a spacecraft of some kind? I just don't see it as being a possible, logical, rational, fair estimate of what the eye is seeing there. It is what it is. That's number 12. And then 13, it's got a little bit of some kind of a colored filter on it to bring it into even more sharpness.
Yeah.
14, 15, so it's the same thing, but flipped over. Now, was that craft rotating in orbit at the time? Is that how you were able to get this other image of it?
No, it wasn't rotating at all. That's the interesting thing. Over a period of a couple of days, you'd see it as a different actual sort of.
So you come back a couple of days later, you had the location recorded, you go back there, and it's changed its attitude toward the Earth.
Well, this is the interesting thing. Live, over a period of 3 days, if you ask, there's a few colleagues that are listening who are actually witnessing this live with me. I recorded it one day, Pacific time, recently, not this specific one, but a different one. And then the second day and the third day, and over 3 days, you can see that it's slightly turned. And I didn't notice that. It was actually one of your colleagues that are listening noticed it. I was watching it live with the rest of the world. And, if you've got a clear week, it's amazing because you can actually look at these and they're in certain places. And it's incredible. You know, it really is.
Right.
You know, they are there. You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I've been, live, I've been zooming in and out, if you watch the videos, right out. So, and to whack up the ISO so you can see it's in space, and then zoom back in, you know, it, like I do on the moon. And as I said, I've been doing this for, what, over 10, 12 years
12 years at least, yeah.
And it's just incredible to see that they're still there, you know.
Wow.
Watching us.
So, yeah, well, now let's pick that up and run with it just for a little bit. We've been suggesting that these may be our deep space fleet ships. They might be somebody else's deep space fleet ships parked out there, sending reconnaissance craft down here and bringing them back. We've talked about this in years ago. We don't know who's up there. These could be ours, it could be theirs, could be both. We don't know. But somebody's up there, and that's for damn sure.
It brings back sort of memories of War of the Worlds' original radio broadcast. Like, we're on the radio, so you could give it a mention. The Orson Welles' wonderful broadcast
from
1939.
Yeah,
it brings back memories of that, doesn't it?
It does.
As they draw their plans.
Who's that? Who's up there? Are they plotting? Are they yes? Are they listening to this program? This is very interesting. Now we have a freeze frame from a YouTube video or a video. It's got the time bar at the bottom of it. It shows this particular freeze is at 21:55. Now that, I defy anyone to look at that and tell me it's lens flare, or a smudge, or a satellite, or an old rocket booster. No chance. That is a purposefully designed object, a machine that somebody has built, and it's parked up there.
Yeah, that was actually broadcast live, that actual, if you go to John Leonard Wilson, YouTube, you can actually see the live broadcast of it. It's there. You can Google
so
it.
So you can go to John's YouTube channel and look at that live and see it. Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at, you could put a ruler on that, and obviously, you just yeah. And the hardest thing for people, John, as we've talked about years ago, and Marcel, you know this, is for people to accept the idea that they ran the whole Apollo program and the ISS as a diversion. And unfortunately, if these craft that we're looking at are our craft, that's the only conclusion you can come up with. It was a diversion. If these craft belong to visitors, which they might, then what do we do about it? And the answer, nothing. Nothing we can do. They're up there. They're obviously extremely advanced technologically. And if they're ours, which I'm sure in my mind, some of them, after listening to Bill Tompkins, some of them are, we're 20, 40, 50, 60 years ahead minimum of what the government will admit. Okay. Go ahead, Marcel, please.
Yeah, a couple of quick things. Just going back to, you mentioned about John's patience. I'm sure someone has got a picture of John fast asleep with his head on the telescope. That has happened a few times.
Yeah.
definitely happened a few times. But I think mainly what I'd like to say about these particular shots and this subject is, according to the US government, the Star Wars project does not exist.
That's right.
So I think people have to make their own minds up. And I think it's quite obvious, but
I don't need the U.S. government to tell me anything is real or otherwise. I'm
exactly.
perfectly able to make up my own mind. And
when
you look at this, and knowing John as long as I have, and when you, with his head asleep on the telescope, that's John. And he has the patience of a saint. And this is testimonial to that. And I would urge all of you to look at that freeze frame. Spacecraft, can you see the shadow Look at the detail. I have a 5-inch magnifying glass. Just look at the detail on that and some of the others and the shadowing. Absolutely. It's up in the upper right portion of this object, and there is absolutely shadowing in there. Yeah.
I actually sent you a picture taken by Ron and also some other astronomers that are almost as good as that, and they've been recording these space objects too. And quite funnily, it's all on like a Japanese web page. You don't see it on any English or USA.
No, of course not. Which argues for the validity of it all. If we're not being able to see it freely and calling John Leonard Walson a quack, they're hiding it. They're covering it up. Fine. Then let them. I don't care. Doesn't bother me.
I've sent you the picture, and it's from their website. I've sent it as an example of my research of other people doing it. I can prove other people have filmed exactly the same thing, you know, but not as close.
I've got
closer.
Got it.
And it's a long structure filmed by somebody. I've sent it to your colleagues, and it's there. You can't deny it. You know?
Okay. All right. Now, the last image on page one.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
Again, is stunning. Look at the detail of it.
Yeah.
Who made that? Is that ours?
Exactly.
Is somebody from another galaxy? Look at that. This is, I can only imagine. I've got to get the video of you and the Hollywood producer up. I don't know if it's up or not, but I will put it up. Let me also do this, John and Marcel. I would like to ask you to come back 1 week from tonight, next Monday night. I don't want to rush through these images, and we're going to do the rest of them next week. We'll do what we can in this next half hour, and then we're going to come back next Monday and spend at least 2 hours and go through this at our leisure, and we'll pull up examples and present concepts and ideas. But that last picture on page one of the images, look at the detail. Wow.
Yeah, the time is going too quick, Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to come back if you're both available next Monday. We're not going to rush through this. It's too important. Now, also at the bottom of the page, if I might look at a line of text and ask you to take some time and look at it, please help discover more spacecraft in orbit and moon structures. And click on that. John is needing a little help. He's run his van into the ground. He needs a new used van. It's a request for support. All right. Now I would ask all of you to, after you've looked at all this, and you know, I think John a little bit better now, as such a dedicated, devoted man, that you might want to send something to help him get a new van to lug his scope around. And when he's there on location, there are other people up on these hills, and he'll show them. He shares everything. It's just an amazing event. So that's the last little line of text at the bottom of page one. We've got to get this man a new van. He's got several examples of what will work for him, and I think that's more than fair. Look what he's doing. I guarantee you there are a lot of people in the Pentagon right now watching this. Guarantee it.
Oops.
Yeah, oops. Sorry. And in the military. All around the world are watching this. This is a history-making internet broadcast. And these images we're seeing are, again, I'm going to repeat it, we don't know if they're ours or the Greys or the reptilians or whose they are. We don't know what they're doing up there. If they're ours, why aren't they out flying around? Maybe they are. I don't know. All of these questions are on the table, and many more I can't even think of right now. So it's just fascinating. All right, let's go ahead and load page two up next. And so a little review on that, Marcel King. What did you think of those pictures?
Personally, I think they are amazing, and to me, it's just proof of there are a lot of things up there that we just do not know about. Simple as that, really.
And that's not space junk. Come on.
No, it's not.
Those are purposefully built spacecraft, spaceships, whatever you'd like to call them. Friends, we are surrounded by them in orbit above us. Whose are they? I don't know. Listen to Bill Tompkins, and he'll tell you whose some of them probably are, and they are ours. And Bill may have had a hand in designing more than a few of them. He's a remarkable man, and he'll be on again fairly soon. I wish I was there when he was able to see these images, perhaps tomorrow. Remember, he doesn't have a computer. They don't want him to have a computer, they being the powers that be. So he has to get these things kind of delivered in a roundabout way. But he'll see them. Okay, page two. Now, I mentioned earlier that John paid a price when we were working together 12 years ago, however long ago it was. He used to call me, and we'd talk about things that I would not repeat on the air here. They're just private. And one of the things he began to relay to me was the fact, and this is okay to talk about, the British government did not like what he was doing with his telescope and putting up on the air on this program and on his sites. He'd only put up YouTube videos back then. But the government didn't like that, and they harassed the hell out of him. Now, the first picture you'll see is, I don't know the type of helicopter, but it's flying above John's home in broad daylight.
John, Apache gunship.
It is an Apache. That's right. Now I can see it. In fact, it looks like it's got its rocket launcher tube ready to fire. And its Gatling gun machine gun under the nose. I can see that.
Yeah.
So, okay, yeah. They sent a combat Apache helicopter over John's house in broad daylight. Go ahead, John.
And then Marcel?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, something I would like to add to the people seeing this, which is really important, this is in a residential street with maybe 50, 60 houses in a residential street that these are going over his house. It's not in a field. It's in a main residential street.
Okay, very good point. Yeah. This is going to shake up the whole neighborhood.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no air bases or anything like that. It's just literally straight up coming over the house. Really, really crazy low. The next few stills you're going to see, crazy massive Chinooks shaking the rooftops. One came so low, you'll see, it knocked me over in the garden, and I really hurt my back really badly. My cotex bone, it shook. And the downdraft of one of these things is like a hurricane. If you do any research, if you stand within 30 feet, 40 feet underneath one of these twin blade Chinooks, it literally will squash you into the ground. And that's what it did to me. And I filmed it. I got it all on footage. And some of them have come so low. I've got CCTV and they go lower than my CCTV along the back of the garden, clipping the trees. And literally you can see the CCTV's 12 feet off the ground, pointing down to like a 10 feet section of the garden, and you can see it comes in line with it. So it's literally 12 feet off the ground. It's just horrible. You're going to show other things where I've been blinded in a minute, so I'll let you carry on, Jeff.
Yeah, all right. The next image of the Apache shows it right over his roof. I don't know, yeah. 50 feet, 75 feet, something like that. Residential neighborhood. Go ahead, Marcel.
Yeah, it's to be honest, it's quite frightening. I mean, especially the Chinooks. They're a big, heavy machine.
Yeah, oh, giant.
Huge amounts of down her draft, and going over a residential street like that is just it's just unbelievable.
Okay, image number three, after the one that is labeled my roof, you'll see one of these enormous Chinooks coming in from the right. Now, I've seen these videos that John took of these, And I think the men on board, maybe there were some women, I don't know, didn't like being videotaped. He stood right out there and videotaped and took photographs. How many times have these things been over your home, John, approximately?
Well, since we've known each other in the last 12 years, nearly every day, I would say every week, on an occasion, I would say, how many days in a year? Well,
365 days a year.
Say half that. So every year, we'll say 100 times a year. So we'll just be kind. And I've got video to prove all this. So since, 10 years. So, I mean, that's a lot they've been over, isn't it?
100 days a year times 10 years is 1,000 times they've come over your house.
It really is severe. Why are they coming so close? Why are they allowed to get away with it? And I've complained to the highest authorities. I've got proof of it. And they've ignored it and covered it up. It's still going on. And I get continued Merlins. I get Chinooks and Apache gunships coming very so close that I've got video of me in the house. And I'm trying to talk to someone and ring them and complain. And this Merlin is above the house and it's distorting my voice on the tape, which I'm trying to talk to people. My voice is actually distorted because it's so low, and shaking the rooftops. I've been knocked over, and you're going to come to the bit where I've been blinded in my right eye by another helicopter, which is quite severe.
All right, let's move on down. The Chinook is coming. You'll see it. These are Vietnam-era helicopters. They've been around a long time. They're still using them in Afghanistan. It's enormous. Now, look at the next picture. The roofline and the Chinook, it's a little bit away. It's not right over the roof there, but the perspective gives you an idea. This is a thunderous machine. You've all probably seen them go overhead from time to time when the military flies by. They're extremely loud. What do the authorities tell you, John, when you lodge your civilian complaint about this outrageous mental and physical terrorism, which is what it is?
It is. You're right. Well, I've sat down with the highest authorities. I've actually can prove that because you're just about to show a picture of them, and I complained. They write it down. You never hear from them again. They just cover it up. I've been assaulted uptown. I've been punched. I've got that on video, which I can provide the video.
I remember that when it happened.
Yeah. And up to the point of showing some of the highest authorities. These aren't just normal police people I'm showing. These are chief of police and stuff I'm sitting with, chief inspectors. They're not just Joe Bloggs. Mm-hmm. And, I've got video of CCTV of my house, why I'm not there, of undercover people trying to break into my home and forcing the windows opener and stuff like that. I've even got records of solicitors saying that they have looked at footage where people have come in and put cameras in my house, and I've got that on film too, and I haven't even been here. It's just incredible the extent of this, which no one seems to realize is one thing being an amateur astronomer, but the next level of getting a Chinook knocking you down in your garden, and I can prove it. It's not fiction, it's
right.
Fact.
Well, we got more pictures to come here. Now, this is...
You can see me showing someone, can't you? You can see me showing... I'm holding it out to this chief inspector.
We're not there yet. Hold on. I got one more. It's a zoom. It looks like a UFO to the left. Now, you zoom that in. It's on the left edge of the picture, and then the zoom is in the upper left corner. So that's a craft, a disc-shaped craft in the distance. Well, half a mile away, maybe. Not even, I don't know, hard to say. It may well be monitoring what's going on here, watching. And the Chinook is turning to starboard, away from the residents there, moving down one more. Now, this one, okay, this one is absolutely staggering. Look up through the tree, and what do you see? You see the bottom of a Chinook helicopter. You see the rotor blade at the top, and you see the body, about half the body, and that thing is coming right over his house, and the downdraft knocked John over.
Yeah. Some people have said that's like a model fake helicopter, but I can tell you it really hurt when it knocked me down, this massive, you know, helicopter. It hurt me so much that I can't sit, you know, on my bottom properly sometimes, you know. That's how, and it's in the funny thing is, it's in my medical records as classified. I got a Freedom of Information records about my, they didn't want to give it to me, but I eventually got it, and I kicked up such a fuss, and they gave it to me, and it says classified, then it says reclassified, and you should see what's in my medical notes. This picture, lots of other stuff, which I can't get into because I've been threatened and intimidated by a secret, what you might call, not the real police, but other higher than the police have knocked my door. I've got them on CCTV too, mm-hmm. threatening and intimidate me. If I talk about a certain lady anymore, they'll grab me and put me in their dungeons, you might want to call it.
Oh, really? So, well, yeah. I'm not mentioning who this lady is, but I know.
Yeah. And that's a fact. I've got it all on film, and they know it. And I asked them, could you, because I said, I don't actually understand what you're trying to intimidate me with. Could you write to somebody, please, and tell them exactly what you're saying? And I got them to write to my doctor, and they did. And they just said it all. You know what they were saying? If I talked about a certain lady anymore, I'll be, you know, action would be taken against me. So it's intimidating me to shut up. You know, it's just not.
Wow.
I think the important thing here is, Jeff, is exactly what you're doing, is to get this information out to as many people as possible.
No, it's gone. It's gone. And we'll make a YouTube video of this as well, this program. And then when you come back next week, we'll try and get
gone.
Through the rest. What's that?
He'll be gone off your site, Jeff.
No, they'll be up. GCHQ hopefully will leave it alone and let people just figure that it's just all contrived, but it's not. It's not. Wait till we get to the moon. Now, all right, you've got a picture of a fellow with two diamonds on his epaulette and a white shirt and a tie. Show him proof. You're showing him proof that you were knocked down by the MOD choppers in the garden at your house. And you're showing him pictures right there.
Yeah.
And you're covering his face up because you don't want to invite any more trouble. Now, there's somebody in a picture down below. Who's that?
That's the one who punched me in broad daylight.
So that's the guy. I remember that.
Government agent. Yeah, and I've got it all on film, him saying he's a government agent and he punched me. I was walking along and I noticed someone had a bag in their hand and it had a hole in it. And he was pointing the hole at me, filming at me, coming towards me.
Yeah.
I said, why are you filming me? And he says, you know, shut up, go away, I'm a government agent. I've got it all on film. And then I said, well, if you're filming me, I'll film you. So I pull out my camera and he punches me in the head and the chest really quickly in a very quick move. And my camera goes to the floor. I picks it up and follows him. And I start asking him, why did you punch me? And he says, I'll punch you again if you don't go away. I had to stay with my wife at the time, but he ran down the road. A friend of mine saw it happen and ran after him, and that man went in the back section of the police station. I went to the police station late afterwards and showed the chief inspector that's sitting there, and he said, I'm sorry, I don't know the person. I explained where he ran into, where only the police can go into, and they said, sorry, you know, no one's come in here of that description. We don't know him. But he did. He went in there and he hit me really hard, and they've never found him. It really traumatized me when I was punched uptown. You know, I mean, in broad daylight, if someone could come up to you and get away with, and there's a CCTV camera right above his head, and they could not find that footage. It was erased. You know, so
the security camera above his head there out on that building, his portion was deleted. Uh-huh.
It was deleted, yeah. And they just never got back to me. And the most funny thing is, you're not going to believe this, when I was in there, guess what we heard? A rumbling.
Oh,
so we run outside, and guess what's above? I've got it on video. Guess what's above the police station?
Another helicopter.
A massive Chinook. And there was a man cleaning the windows on a ladder. And it was rumbling so much. He was so shocked. And it was above the police station. He nearly come off the ladder. There was loads of witnesses.
Wow.
And that chief inspector said to me, "I'm sorry, I can't help you anymore. It's out of my hands. Too much red tape." And I was left to go away, you know. Then I took it much more higher levels to much more, you know, higher, you know, complaints departments like the Cabinet Office, the Home Office, and it's all been covered up. I don't exist about it. So, you know, and now you're going to get onto something even worse if you go to the next picture.
Yeah. Well, let me say one other thing about all this. If GCHQ, MI5, were told that Walson needs to be neutralized, you would have been dead long ago. They kill people all the time. You've got some protection somewhere at very high levels. They're harassing you, but I'm being optimistic here. I don't think their plan is to kill you. And I've suffered myself serious incidences like that. All right, let's go to the next picture.
Yeah.
Now, this is an image of a police helicopter searchlight. These are incredibly powerful lights. And if you look and see what it did, I don't know that it's a laser, but it's some kind of an arc.
It's an electrically charged one, an electrically charged beam. It's 30 million candle watts, so it's very powerful.
30 million candle watts. That's damn near laser power.
And it says in the manual, if you download the PDF, that at 20 feet it can set clothes on fire. And at no actual conditions should you point it at a human being at its focused point. It's used for being up at 500 feet and used for searching in a field, wide field of view. It's like a little telescope there. And you know, like I was explaining earlier on, a wide field of view that you can see on a focal length. This is also electrically charged and magnified, so it's actually can go to a wide field of view or a pinpoint view. Even when you're servicing it, as you know, people have to, you have to wear, it says in the manual, you know, like a welder's hat, you know, you have to wear one of those just in case it comes off.
Wow.
And it can kill people at 20 feet. It can set the clothes on fire, melt their tires. It says at no point should you point it at a person at all.
Whose eye is that, John?
It's mine.
Can you still see?
Not out of the right eye properly, no. I just see black and bright white spots. I've also sent your colleague the doctor's note where it proves that they wrote down damaged right eye by this helicopter beam, which is incredible. And that was written down. Luckily, someone was with me and took a photograph of the actual doctor's note. Guess what happened?
Gone.
A week later, that same doctor wrote to my family doctor saying it was an eye infection.
Oh, sure.
So they covered it up. But luckily, I've got the written, scribbled note, which is clearly visible in my notes, which are classified, that actually says it was a damaged right eye by the beam of light from the helicopter. And it's not fair that they go and cover that up, because that really happened. And the funny thing is, you can see me on the CCTV footage, which one of your colleagues has sent you. I'm standing outside the front door. You can see the beam come up my footpath and hit me straight in the head. And you can, I'm holding my camera and filming because I heard this noise, you see, and this, it was low fog, so you couldn't see what was above you. And all of a sudden, this helicopter came through the fog, hovered above the house, and this beam came straight out of the helicopter, straight at me, and got me straight in the eye.
Right.
It was terrible. It's all on film, you know, so it's terrible. But never mind, I'm still here.
There you are. Marcel, have you been harassed for your part in helping John?
I personally have not had harassment. I've had a few weird things happen. I've had my laptop hacked and a few bits like that. But I've not had harassment like John's had. But we've been in certain circumstances where we've been out on our own and luckily nothing's happened. And I think you're right. I don't think they plan to bump him off. I think
I think that would have happened long ago. This is it's out now. This is out. It's all over the world right now, and it's already been on your website, but now traffic to your site will only increase. And when people see the videos of the moon, which we're not going to get to tonight, you're not going to believe what John has found up there. These structures, buildings, all kinds of things. Not a joke. For real. Ours? I don't know. I would say quite probably we're involved. Remember what Buzz Aldrin said in the moon? He said, they're parked on the edge of the crater. They're all watching us. That's what he said.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But on a fun note and a good note, isn't it a privilege? Number one, you, Jeff, all those years ago, have talked about this. And it is what the thing that's kept me going is the fun thing and the discovery and the just incredible, you know, sort of privilege to be able to look up in the sky and look at, you know, these wonderful planets and stars and things and objects in space, whatever you want to call them, and have these experiences. And it'd be wonderful to share these experiences with the world, not just with you, Jeff, but to do like a TV show or a series or something and show people how it's made, show people, you know, go on location where you could use old and new equipment, on go to famous locations where there's been famous phenomena happen, and you could use the camera that it was used on. You could use my new equipment and get, you know, compare results on the famous Phoenix lights or something. You could go there, set up my equipment. You could put, like, just imagine the old equipment that it was filmed on, my new equipment. Put it side by side, you'd have a lovely TV show. You know, you could present it to the world then, and, you know, go around. And like, there's a wonderful sort of show in the UK called Shed and Buried. I mean, it'd be brilliant just to go around all the astronomy sheds all around the world, you know, visit people, saying, what have you experienced? Should we try and find it with my equipment, you know, and stuff like that? It'd be a brilliant show.
Oh, what a great idea. What a great idea. And yes, as we've said, there's so many astronomers out there, amateurs, whatever you want to call them, who have excellent equipment. They're very wise. They've done this for years and years. And that you're just describing a program that could be absolutely riveting. Wonderful program.
It would.
Will they allow it to be made, though? That's the question.
Well, that's the question, if you're listening.
The beauty is, Jeff, is as well that the sky is free to look up. The government cannot stop you looking up into the sky. So everybody out there needs to start looking up.
Yeah, that's a problem. You know, I really do notice, I watch people, and a lot of people walk, and they kind of look down. People don't look up.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
They're cowed like sheep. They don't look up.
There's a good thing to leave this on. This on a positive note, instead of dwelling on past negative, like people coming to try and intimidate you. If you leave this on a positive note and go down to, there's just one nice picture I've seen there of the moon that you've got. it's just such a privilege to look up there and look at the moon so close and zoom in to something that should have been given to us as the public from NASA, from right back when they landed on the moon. They should have literally had this, a live broadcast of our beautiful planets close up for the public to see. And I'm willing to give that as the hobby that I am doing for free, you know, just share it with the world, you know. Mm-hmm. You've got a lovely picture there of the moon and some craters. You imagine that broadcast once a week as a show or something live to the nation.
Just that, they could look at your the spacecraft, space machines that you're getting and show you actually capturing them on the screen, zooming in and watching them turn from a little white dot into this extraordinary object. The big question is, of course, who's up there? Who is it? Is it us? Is it somebody else? Yep. Don't know. But yeah, look at the one picture of the moon. We'll come back with John and Marcel next Monday night, and we will do part two of this. And I want to thank you, Marcel King, very much for being here. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right.
Yep.
And John, it's wonderful to talk to you again. It's been far too long, but the time is as it should be. We're here.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Talk to you next week.
Take care.
Thank you, Jeff. Okay. Take care.
You're welcome. All right, Marcel and John, and there's a program for you. So we'll do next week page 2 and page 3 of the images and much more. All right, back tomorrow night.